Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I don't want the porn stars talking.
Do you know? Oh my God. You can put mute on.
Which is old silent movies in black and white.
Yeah. A little cutting screen comes up and he goes, "I'm here to fix your boiler, sir."
And he can't get us a plate of glass there.
The woman tied to the train
tracks. When he gets the exciting bit, a bloke on the piano goes,
there's a villain with a mustache who goes like this, "Oh, I'm going to steal your girl." Oh, fuck.
Stuck in the washing machine, are we?
I'm the stepbrother.
Content warning. Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is not suitable for all audiences, and viewer/listener discretion is advised. For example, if when you just heard the term ladies and gentlemen, you immediately thought about how exclusionary it is, then it's probably best you turn this off now.
Welcome to Dead Men Talking. Joining us today in place of Rob Mulholland is co-host Mick Ferry.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you? You all right?
Good. You've never been to the studio before,
not this
you?
One. No, not the new one. I was at Rob's house. I did that one once, but not here. This is nice.
This is an upgrade, isn't it, mate?
It's massive. It's great. It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Can't believe it, yeah.
Except it's in Horwich. That's the only downside.
Yeah, that's the only downside, but it's... It's a new epicentre for the adult film industry, Horwich.
Is it?
Yeah. Do you not know?
Is that because of all the OnlyFans models that we have on here?
I don't know. Okay. I've just made that up. I just thought it'd be like one of them obscure places where you'd find that afterwards. You go, fucking hell.
Are you thinking of Horwich?
Do you know what? I don't book the guests on this based on diversity, obviously. but I had a moment where I was like, shit, where I realised that we've had more female OnlyFans models than we've had female comics on this podcast. I was like, maybe need to get that changed, don't I? That was maybe an oversight. Doesn't look too good. But thanks for coming, Mick.
No, thanks for asking me.
And guest we have is Kai Humphries.
Yes, it's good being here. And I'd never even heard of Horwich, which is uncommon when you travel as a stand-up comedian that you haven't heard of a town.
Well, this is like, I think most people would call this Bolton, apart from the people of Horwich who would be like, right,
you only know about this place because of Bolton Wanderers football.
Yeah, because I saw the Reebok. It's not the Reebok anymore, is it?
No, it's not the Reebok. It's the Macron now.
No, it's not even that now. It's something else.
Is it?
University of Bolton, I think.
The University of Bolton Stadium.
It's been like four things since the Reebok.
I've done
gigs there. Like they have function rooms, so they have that. So I was doing this like corporate once when Amir Khan was having a birthday party downstairs for his one-year-old daughter. He had a fun fair, and apparently the party cost like 100 grand. And we asked him to turn the music down a little bit. Sent a message asking him to turn the music down, and they fucking turned it up.
Really?
Had the remote upside down.
Yeah.
Well done, that.
Yeah, but then it's like, it's Amir Khan. Should we go and tell him? Nah, leave him.
Probably just go tell him to turn it up. Confused.
Send Bredesis Prescott down to knock him out in 50 odd seconds.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the first person to. Do you remember that when he was like the golden boy?
Oh, yeah.
And then he got put on his ass rapid.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. God, yeah. Because he, technically, very good fighter, but chin.
Oh, yeah, he had no chin at all. He wouldn't listen either. He wouldn't listen at all. So Freddie Roach would be like, hey, mate, your chin is a bit shit considering you fight for a living. So how about we defend ourselves a bit better? And he was like, nah, how about I throw 50 punches in 3 seconds?
Like, oh, is he as bad as his chin?
Yeah, they used to be saying about it. We had a bloke when we were growing up with those who used to fight neighbours. Always got battered.
I love that chin.
He always got battered.
Well, like organised fights with neighbours.
No, he'd kick cash. Off. He'd had a drink in the house and you'd hear him. Like, we'd call in somebody out on the street and then he'd get banjoed. And people used to introduce him as a guy who's had 100 fights and lost 101. Yeah, he always got battered. Yeah.
It's good that he kept going back.
Obviously, clearly mental health issues, you know, and alcohol abuse as well. And
But there's comics like that, isn't there, where you look at and you go, if previous experience had taught you anything, it is that this is not for you. Yeah, they're like, no, this is going to be the time, 101 gigs in, I'm going to have a good one now.
Yeah, that's when they come off stage and go, well, I enjoyed that. You go, nobody else did.
Do you think it's a level of self-harm? Or do you think it's a level of non-self-awareness? Do you think, like,
it's a lack of self-awareness.
So they say if they enjoyed the like feeling of degradation and worthlessness, then that might just be like part of their kink.
Mental self-scarring.
Jeez.
Yeah, I've never thought of it that way.
It might actually be that,
because it's people's worst fear as well, like to die on stage and they're just going ahead and just doing it recreationally.
What's the worst act you've ever seen, Kai?
Worst act I've seen?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It's fucking probably me at some point. Because I've seen me a few times.
Yeah, I'd said Kai as well.
Yeah, 3-0 for Kai.
I've got this belt. I'll send you the clip, right? But I've got this one. You know, Brent Riley used to do them pub crawl gigs.
Yeah, Brent Riley's another. Yep.
I went to watch the act. Oh, that was before me. It was Sam Harland in this restaurant that they just hired out to bring the audience into. And then he performed just them in there. And I was going to be on the next part of the pub crawl. And we went into this pub.
I've done that.
Went into this pub that had karaoke on. And it was already really full, so none of the audience on the bar crawl could get through. And Bren went and had a word with the management. And he went, oh, they'll still pay us if you get up and do something. And he stopped the karaoke and introduced us onto the stage and nobody wanted it, expected it. And I'm there just gate crashing the karaoke, trying to do the opening gag.
That?
I'd just come back from Australia, 2017.
Oh, so you didn't need the money?
Nah.
So you could have actually said, I'm not doing this.
I could have fucked off.
So what you were saying before about intentional self-harm, you were talking about yourself, weren't you?
I was there, mate, though.
There's a video with him on stage.
I was there. I was like, I'll give it a can. I could have walked away. I should have walked away in hindsight.
There's a video of him on stage doing it and he's just tweaking one of his nipples the whole time. Just pushing it like that.
No, that's
just getting himself hard.
That's like a fucking clipping myself of a car battery.
But if you had to do something, I thought the obvious thing was, do a song.
I tried, mate. I threw the kitchen sink at it. I tried to sing La Bamba.
My God.
You know what? I had them for a bit because I even told them at the beginning, I was like, this could be a disaster, right? I'm going to set the timer, man, here for like 20 minutes, right? I'm going to set the timer now. And when it's up, it's up. we can make this whatever it fucking is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? I'm like, yeah, it could be fucking horrendous. It could be like, I managed to get like a laugh out of an opening gag. And then I swore. And then this woman took a bit of a huff that I swore. And she got up and just went, there's any need for that language, and stormed off. And I tried to make a bit of banter out of that. And then everybody whose attention I had kind of dispersed and started chatting, and I tried to grind it out, and I was like, well, it's a karaoke, I'll have a sung La Bamba, done some jokes about how La Bamba translated in English is the lamest fucking song in the world, bring it back to comedy. And then there was just this fucking guy at the back that was just going, get off your shit. My mate was just recording him and not the gig. And just recording this guy.
Did you do your old 20? Did you do the full 20?
I think I'd done the time.
What a trooper.
I grinded my time
out. I don't
out.
Think that is a trooper. No. I mean, that's stupid, Carl. From start to finish.
Yeah, I shouldn't have done
2017, it. 2017, you're experiencing off that. If you were saying like 2007 or two, you know, like, you, but you're an established act by that point. What are you doing?
You know what? It was one of them where I was like, fuck, give it a go. I thought I'd give it a shot.
Yeah,
I think I fucking, I might be able to do this. You never know.
Yeah, but this is how people get themselves in trouble with dangerous sports. It is. So you've obviously got that attitude. Well, I've never base jumped before, but I'll have a crack at it. I mean, that's stupid. It's a stupid way to approach things.
Would you have walked away from that?
I'd have just gone, 100%. No fucking way. I'd have gone, no fucking way. Well, I've done it.
How many times have you done that in your career? You've done that a lot, where you've looked at a gig and gone, I'm not doing this?
Twice.
I've done it once. What were the times when you did it?
One was at Sway in London.
Oh, I know the one.
It was two rooms, an upstairs and a downstairs.
I don't know this one.
Jongler's had it for a bit, and fuck me, it's any.
It wasn't the one in Camden, was it?
No, it's Sway in Covent Garden.
So I said, okay. This one, I was like, I always bomb at this gig, why do they keep booking us back? And they went, because you're dead.
Yeah, they were desperate. They just started getting paid. If you got to 10 minutes before you got off, they were pleased.
Wow.
That's what the gigs were like.
Really?
Yeah.
What was so bad about it?
Eh?
What was so bad about it?
Well, they're upstairs and downstairs and they'd have a meal and so on.
They call it Jongler's Posh.
Yeah, and they just weren't interested in the comedy.
Charge them like 50-odd quid.
Yeah, yeah.
They get a meal and then they just try and keep them at the bar. They've been there for 3 hours before you get on.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
God, that's awful.
So there's an upstairs and downstairs one, and the downstairs one was supposed to be the worst one. But I'd just managed 8 minutes on an upstairs one, and the lad who was running it said, you're going to be on soon downstairs. I went, I'm not, I'm gone, I'm done.
Yeah.
He said, I need to go on. I said, no, I don't need, I'm not going on.
Downstairs one's fine.
Was it?
Downstairs one's grand. Because I did it the other way. I opened the downstairs one, and then I was about to go on upstairs where it's all the big round, you know, the big circular tables.
It's horrific.
Half the audience is facing away from you because they run the big circles.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Downstairs is like a little nightclub.
Tom Riggles has got the story where he was booed off on both stages.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but on both stages in the same night, booed off.
Do you know what? If the downstairs one's fine, then the guy must have just thought that you were really into your emotional self, because he was like, he's just doing the upstairs one. He's a fucking freak, this fella.
I don't want to bounce back from that.
I'd heard it'd been horrendous. One actor come up from downstairs and went, fucking, it is dog really? Shit down there.
What was the other time that you refused to go on?
That was a while ago. I can't remember. I think it was early days. I think it was, and I think it was like only like a paid 10-minute spot, a student gig.
Yeah.
Was it Kiel? And it was just a bear pit.
Yeah.
And I just thought, well, I'm not.
Have you ever refused to? I mean, bear in mind, you'd do it. You'd interrupt a karaoke to do 20 minutes. What's your barrier? Yeah. Where you're like, nah.
He did a gig on the bus on the way here.
You would ruin somebody's night out just to impart yourself on them for 20 minutes. Yeah. Imagine they've all gone home, gone fucking Nob Edwards singing along. And he gets up, this fucking Johnny cunt.
I feel like I protect myself booking wise.
Yeah.
For gigs, like I tend not to. I tend not to get hoodwinked that much into a bad gig. Like, I feel like my diary is normally gigs that I'm aware of at this point, and I know what they're going to be like.
Yeah.
And every now and again, something will come along like that and, like, sideswipe you.
Yeah.
In the next one, I even got one in where I got, like, asked, I'm doing Newcastle Stand. You know, like, on Thursday, do you want to do this thing in Middlesbrough, Comedy Grub? And I just thought, you know, I like how people pop up a gig and they give it a name, like, fucking... Yeah. I thought Comedy Grub was the name of the comedy night. And then I started updating my website and it was like this place that does meals, and they were like, and then once a month we'll put on a comedian with your meal. And
ooh,
I'm like, I don't
no.
think that's a comedy night.
Yeah.
I think that's somebody thinking that they're just going to get someone up at a restaurant
and
day it. Now, if I turn up to that gig, I think I'm going to day it because I could have given them a heads up to get somebody else.
Yeah.
But I've got time between now to figure out what the fuck this gig is. And I can ask if anybody's already done it.
Yeah.
And I can I'd pull the gig before
When's the gig happening?
It's in, I think it's when I get back in May.
Oh right. Okay.
So have you found out what the gig is?
Nah. But it's in the back of my mind. It's in the back of my mind. That's something in my diary that I don't know what it is.
It sounds like one of those gigs that you, I mean, you shouldn't be doing them. If a gig says you've got to bring your own PA.
Yeah,
your own mic and your own PA system. So it sounds like that might be it.
Not done a gig once. I've refused to go on stage once. And it was just after COVID, maybe 3 weeks after. Like, you know when there was that time when people were asked about COVID, and then there was like a year where it was like varying degrees of people being asked. Like, some people stopped being asked straight away, and other people, it took them a little bit longer to stop being asked. It was about 3 weeks after the time when the government went, there's no more restrictions, chill the fuck out. Like, sort of summer 2021, that time.
Yeah.
So I turned up to this gig. It's 120 quid to close on a Thursday night in Liverpool, hour away from my house. I'm like, all right, fine, fuck it. Turn up, sit at this pub in Liverpool, and the promoter, who I won't name, said, the show's going to start at 8 o'clock, but if you want to get there at about 9:15, you'll be on for 9:30. And I was like, okay, fine, sweet. So I turn up at this gig in Liverpool. It's in this rough-ass fucking area of Anfield, right? Which is fine, whatever. I walk in. The pub is just a normal pub on a Thursday night. Not many people in. And the pub is kind of split into two sections with the bar in the middle. There's one section over there with like a pool table and a telly. And then there's another section that's more for drinking. And we're in the other section. There's nobody's paid to be there. There's no, half the people didn't know that comedy was on. And there's about a dozen people, punters, that are in this room. Now, some of them are there to watch the comedy, about five or six of them. A couple of them aren't really asked, but there's a group of four girls who are like, no, we're going to... So they're just chatting, and the promoter's going, no, you need to be quiet or whatever. And they're like, what the fuck do you mean we need to be quiet? We've been here since 4 o'clock. What do you mean we need to be quiet? We were here first, you dickhead. What are you talking about, we need to be quiet? So there was a conversation out, and they were... Anyway, I didn't know all of this. I rock up to the gig at about 8:50, right? So a little bit early, and the gig has just started. And so it had run 50 minutes late, ooh, right? And so I get there, and there were 8 acts before me.
Oh,
8! Who was hosting? Who had to galvanise that crowd?
The person who was also the promoter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 8 acts doing, and they were all doing between 10 and 15 minutes each.
Shitting hell.
So I'm like fucking, I'm pissed off, right, at this point. And it's a nightmare, right? And the host is trying to make things work, but it's not working. And the opening act goes on, the first act. And the first act to go on was, do you know David Eagle?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So blind guy.
Yeah, blind guy.
Yeah, I've never met him, but I know who he is.
Fantastic.
Yeah. He's good. I've seen
him. Yeah, he's a great act. And, I mean, if he could have seen, he would have fucked off before he did.
Everyone just painting the picture of a beautiful gig to him.
Yeah. Oh, step away from there, David. You're near the beach. Beautiful sunset. Gorgeous gig, this.
I mean, the chocolate fountain there, mate.
Yeah. Hello to all the people on the stalls at the top foyer. Yeah, he just, oh God. Anyway, he goes on stage and he does really well by referencing how unbelievably dog shit the gig is.
And that's a blind guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm telling you how shit the gig is.
I can smell it.
Yeah. I can't see, but my God, it feels shit here. Yeah.
Tastes bad.
Just starts clicking. Just picking the sauna bag of ugly cunts in the front row.
he does really well, but he's ripping it. But it's to six. There's more comics than there are audience members.
Yeah.
Right. But he's doing really well. But in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, we can't all do this. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, we can't all do this.
But you can.
So I'm speaking to the promoter, right? And I'm like, mate, what the fuck? You told me I'd be on at 9:15. He goes, oh, yeah, well, these girls wouldn't move and we had some sound issues. And I went, what do you mean sound? It's there. I was like, you could there's no need for sound equipment.
You can all sit on the same table by the sound of it.
And he was like, oh, right. He goes,
he's done it in his car.
Yeah. He goes, well, there's nothing we can do about it now. And I was like, mate, I said, so how many people are on? He goes, one, two, three. I went, so there's 8 acts before me. And he went, well, seven. I went, yeah, because one's on stage. And he went, how long are they doing? He went, 10 to 15 each. And I was like, I said, mate, I said, it's going to be midnight if I get on, if I'm lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes, oh, no, it won't. And I worked it out. And if everything ran perfectly to time, I'd be on stage at 11:30 at night.
Whoa.
In this rough-ass pub in the middle of nowhere. And so I was like, I was just really pissed off. Anyway, the first guy, David Eagle, goes on stage, has a good job, finishes the gig, and he goes, oh, thank you, and he gets a round of applause. And then two people get up and go to the bar, and then the promoter slash host goes, all right, well, I guess we'll have a break then so that these people can go to the bar.
You're going to do that between eight acts.
And I went, I'm sat at the back, I'm like, you fucking mess it. I was like, you started nearly an hour late. There's eight people on. I'm going to be here till midnight and you've just called for a break. And so I literally at the break, I went, mate, I'm going. I'm getting off. I said, just keep the money, split the money between you, whatever you want to do. I'm not fucking doing this. And I just got in the car and left.
Really? I know, yeah. David Eagle got £200 for that gig.
Could you not have
asked... So you just went, no?
Yeah.
So you know, if Kai had been there, he'd have gone, just get me fucking on whatever time. Yeah. Midnight, I don't care.
Yeah. Give it a go.
And you got, I will always love you. Yeah, yeah.
It's funny you mentioned it with the gig in the car. I've done a gig in a car before.
Yeah.
Getting taxied around Edinburgh with three people in the back and, like, you know, on my shoulder, I'd fucking cracking onto them. And it was like, I think they dropped off like Andrew Maxwell and picked me up. So it was like, for them, they were just getting taken around to these different spots where a comedian would get in. And then I got in and they were like, oh, we're coming to see you tomorrow night. We've got tickets. And I was like, so I'm going to do my fucking B-tracks then. I'm clutching in my brain what jokes aren't in my show.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
In the car till I get the next stuff.
I've gigged in the London Eye in one of the pods.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, that was all right. It was a bit of fun.
Yeah.
there was a bit of a delay for it landing, so it's meant to be timed perfectly. That's three acts, we'd all do 10 minutes each. So I went on.
Pat Monahan's been run seven times.
Yeah. So I went on. There was me, Mike Gunn, and Ian Stone.
That's a great line.
That's when Ian Stone came out with a great, great line at the, because it was really just awkward because we got stopped. I'd done 10 minutes, Mike had done his 10, Ian had done his 10, but we were still, it was meant to end just as it was coming in. But we still had a few minutes left, so we're just stood there in this pod with 15 people who were staring at us. And then Ian Stone says, this is awful, isn't it? It's like watching a stripper put her clothes back on.
It's
great.
It's so funny.
A screen man putting petrol in.
Yeah.
I done a gig in a disabled toilet once as well. That was in Norway. It was this big factory unit. It was like a festival and they called it Too Amazing or something. I don't know what the T-O-U-M-A-Z-E. I don't know what the fucking the play on words was. But it was called Too Amazing Festival.
We got some daft fucker to do a gig in a toilet.
They did have like
that's what the play was. It was Toilet Amazing.
Toilet
wasn't it?
Amazing. And, so they had a bunch of functional rooms, but they also had the freight elevator where they were having like an MC, an act on, where they'd call you into the freight elevator and fucking shut the thing down so the audience is in way and you do it stood on a fucking milk crate or whatever. And then one of them was just the disabled bogs and there's about six people squeezed in and stood on the fucking toilet trying to do my joke.
I've got a feeling there's going to be a promoter out there going, right, I've been asked to put this night on. It's for 20 blokes who are going cold turkey for heroin. He's screaming, crawling at the walls. We've managed to get him into a room. Who can I book? No.
There's the guy that did the karaoke.
Okay. There we go. There he is.
What's underground sewage pipe comedy? Kyle do 20.
Yeah, I was updating my website and I thought I'd have a better chance to find out what underground sewage comedy was before I can.
Zelensky's going to ring you up in a bit to get on the front line.
I'm just inspired by Stephen Perry, man. That's coming up in the northeast. There's a man. I remember someone saying about Stephen Perry. He'd do a gig of a dog fight in a car park.
I was going to suggest that for you. Yeah, in between the dog fights, just keep the crowd going.
Who's your agent who gives you all this stuff?
Oh, that one was just direct from Bren. That one and the Too Amazing gig was actually class. You know the
was it?
Yeah. It was
was really good. There was loads of comics out there. The rooms were good. There were people doing solo shows. The audiences were like floating around into different rooms to see what was on. Like, they turned this big fat reunion into a festival, and they were just being a bit outlandish with these ideas, and it worked.
Really?
It's good. Yeah. I like Norway. It's good country. Have you gigged in Norway?
No, I've not. No.
Beautiful. Beautiful country. It's like Scotland on steroids. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah.
No,
I have, I jumped in as well. I jumped off the fjord into the water. It was fucking bollock.
Why?
Because they had a little, like...
there was a gig down there.
Just been done.
Oh yeah, he's a little sniper, is Tom.
Pull me pants up there, Tom.
Perfect.
Superb. Yeah, there was like a stone diving board out of the ledge, and it was just like fucking. Wait, I have to jump off that.
You didn't though, did you?
I didn't even have a towel on. I was just fucking got into my shreddies and jumped in. Felt like,
God, it must have been minus. Well, it wouldn't have been minus. It would have been freezing. The water would have frozen. But it must have been like.
I didn't think it would. I think you can get seawater below minus, can't you, without it freezing because it's salty.
I don't know.
What are you getting science from me for?
Always learning on this podcast, aren't we?
No, in fact, science. I don't think we've ever learned anything.
Yeah. Just probably guessing. Yeah. Get guesswork.
I came back from the Isle of Man on Friday. I think I've been to the Isle of Man now. Maybe 12 times in about 15 months, something like that, or maybe 10 times in about 12 months. I've been a lot, I've been many times, and every time I go there, something new horrifies me. You did the first ever one that we did.
Yeah, it was
there,
awful.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't awful, but it was.
We had we had Mick, right? Justin Morehouse, Simon Lomas, class. And that's great, right? But what was really funny is that quite a lot of the audience refused to believe that Simon didn't have special needs.
Yeah.
So there were people coming up to him after the gig.
Yes, we had two instances, one followed the other, and it was quite awkward and quite embarrassing. But then I had a bloke outside and talking about Simon. It's like he was Mr. T. He was like, you two lads did well to get him on the plane just to get him out here. I took Simon to a casino. And he was watching me playing like blackjack. I said, go and have a bet somewhere. Because he's a tight fucker. He won't spend his money.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll go on the roulette table for a little bit. And I said, here's a 10, have a bet. No, I have a bet. So he puts it on number 7. It fucking comes in.
Oh, there's nothing worse than somebody now doesn't an gamble with his money. Yeah.
Now he's lost his house. No,
he's not.
I get you that
he's
one.
He's a lucky fucker. He came up to our pub, the pub quiz we do regularly. And we didn't win it that night, but if you can draw it out of the hat, you can spin the wheel. And I think the jackpot, the money was like 200 quid or something.
Yeah.
So our team then gets pulled out. So I said, go on, Simon, it's your first time, go on, spin it. Fucking wins it.
Wow. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I hate those people that are just not.
I think you need to take in the casino more.
Well, like Rain Man.
So the people that thought you were special needs, were they like talking to them like, well done, doing
yeah,
the,
yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
the woman came over and said, it was really awkward. She said, I work with kids like you that have got
legends. What, legends?
I know. And then a woman came and said, my son's got...
So it wasn't people that didn't know much about disabilities that were assuming it. It's people that were intensively like versed in disability from their experience and their job and their own children that looked at them and diagnosed them.
Yeah, like clinicians.
Then he is disabled.
But this is the Isle of Man. You're not. Come on.
It's like, can you be offended if a maternity nurse says, are you pregnant when you're just fat? It's the same thing as that.
Right.
I would imagine they'd know better not to say that, a maternity nurse.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe they're in the stirrups, I don't know.
Well, if you're, yeah.
Maybe your water's broke.
Sorry, they're in the stirrups and they're not going off any other information than just
they've
this.
Just ended up in the stirrups. Why are they in the stirrups?
I don't know.
And why is a maternity nurse doing a smear?
I think if there were stirrups in any room, my first thought would be, should I get in those stirrups?
Well, no, I'd be thinking jockeys straight away.
What?
Jockeys.
Horse racing
stirrups.
Oh, right, yeah. Sorry, I missed that.
See, like,
yeah,
we're learning.
So when you hear the word stirrups, you think of vaginas.
Yeah, yeah.
I think of jockeys.
Right, yeah.
And Kai thinks a gig.
There's an audience member in there.
No, we did the Isle of Man on Friday. It was nice. It was a nice gig. They have it now at a Masonic Hall.
Oh wow! Okay.
And it's nice. It's like a proper room for it and stuff. I mean, the island's still fucking mental, of course.
Yeah, the first time we did it, because of that first night, it was a like a nightclub. It wasn't the right share for the right thing. But it was one of them. You've gigged in clubs before where for some reason where you gig where the DJs and there's like a barrier between you and
so that place. Funnily enough, they did. It's one of the really popular bars on the night. On the island called 1886.
Yeah.
And it's also, Isle of Man's got a massive cocaine problem, so, and most of it's done at that nightclub. So the bouncer told me when I was over there,
this passed me by.
The problem is you kind of get any.
Yeah. Well, put it this way, the bouncer told me that the locals call it 1880 sniff.
Nearly scans.
Yeah. No, mate, here's an even better nickname for it.
1880 sniff.
It's an old post office, so the locals also call it the snorting office. But I mentioned it on stage, and the manager was furious. She was absolutely furious and never done a gig there since.
Well, because you've mentioned
coke. Yeah. Because I mentioned that they have a big cocaine problem in that venue that everybody already knows about.
So they're trying to
clean up.
Yeah, they probably had complaints, but yeah.
But look, I mean, at the end of the day, it's an island. There's not an awful lot to do there, and everybody there is rich. Of course they're all going to take coke.
Has it got money there, Isle of Man, does it?
Oh, fuck, yes.
Yeah. It's like a tax haven, isn't it?
The tax rules on the Isle of Man, again, we're really learning today. The tax rules is, once you get to 100 grand a year that you've paid, you don't have to pay any more. So they have a tax ceiling where the maximum you have to pay per year is 100k.
That's the opposite of how it should be. It should start really fucking tightening when you start getting more and more.
Yeah, but the thing is if you live on a little tiny island and you wanted to attract millionaires there as opposed to attract, like, people with no money.
Yeah, but I would imagine, though, I imagine there's a disparity, though. I mean, there are people on that island who haven't got money, who are working, are relying on the tourist industry for their income in hospitality and so on. So I'd imagine there's a massive gap between, your average working man and the people who fucking lauded.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be horrific.
Yeah.
It sounds like the drug dealers have made the tax rules there, haven't they?
They've got really... It's like an old pirate island, isn't it?
Yeah.
So how do they get to make their own laws then? Do they count as their own state?
Kind of, yeah. So so basically, they are really protective of their own sovereignty. So they're allowed to sort of govern themselves, and they have their own money, and they have their own reg plates as well, weirdly. Mm. And yet there's other things that they just don't bother having because it's too much hassle for them. They very much pick and choose what they do want to decide and what they want to let the UK sort out.
Their money is the most unrealistic money.
Oh, my God.
But it's like really pathetic. Like, it's like, it looks like a little kid, you buy him like a little shop and they got the pretend money in the shop. That's what you get it. You go, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, other board games try to make Monopoly money, but they can't make Monopoly money.
Yeah,
it's like, look, like
it looks stupid.
Like Sticklebrick to the Lego.
There you go.
Yeah, it is.
It's still pounds and pence, but it's just their own little spin on it.
Yeah.
Come on, Isle of Man. You can do better than that.
Because them Channel Islands, like in Alderney and all that, you don't need to have an MOT for your car. There's like, they've got their own little weird laws like that.
Yeah, they've got like weird tax laws as well. I remember coming back from Belfast once after a gig, I'd done the Empire. I got paid in, it was the Ulster currency, it was, the Northern Ireland currency. So I thought, I'll just take it straight to the bank.
Aye.
And it was only 300 quid I was putting into my account. Mm. And I didn't realise that 2 months before there'd been a big robbery at Belfast Airport. So I give the money, and this woman, all of a sudden, and she calls somebody over, and then this woman behind says, can I ask you where you got that money from, sir? I said, yeah, I got it from Belfast. And she said, where? I said, it was payment for a gig I did. I said, why? She said, no. And then they checked every note like that. And then she said, oh, it's fine. And they put it through. So I clicked and I said, oh, is this to do with the robbery? And she said, well, I can't say that. I said, You really think if I'd been involved in something that was 30 million, I'd be 300 quid a time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd be
giving
it to my fucking bank. Yeah.
Only 10,000 more visits to go until I've cashed in my money. Yeah. What the fuck?
Just go and rejoin the queue as soon as you start. Yeah.
Put a fake nose on.
Yeah, that's so funny.
A bit of rouge.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have that. The car phone warehouse used to have that as well. Have you bought anything in cash? Because they were, I remember buying one of my kids. It was a shit mobile phone, one of the first ones, 50 quid. And because I was paying in cash, he said, oh, we need your details. I said, why? He said, because it's cash, because of money laundering. I was like, what fucking criminal, 50 quid a time? It's a shit phone. You know, it's ridiculous.
The woman who works at the post office near where I live in the village definitely thinks I'm a drug dealer because I go in and deposit cash and she's always like, how much is there? And I'm always like, oh, a few hundred, like maybe 300-400 quid. And she always looks at me like, how can you not know how much? But you don't know, do you? Because when you get paid in cash, it just goes into your wallet. You don't think, all right, I got paid 250 from that gig and then I got paid 150 in that gig, but then I had to... You always just have a rough idea of how much is in there, but I always look so fucking dodgy and I can see her trying to work out like at what point she presses an alarm under the desk or some shit. Again.
Yeah. I like putting my cash in the machines outside. You know, that's good. But it's fucking panic as well because you go, I've counted that. I know how much is fucking there.
Yeah. I do have much more of a distrust on the machine.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and you're looking at it. It's tense. I like the tension. There's a few seconds you can hear it counting. You're going, fucking come on.
And then it spits one back out, and it's like dog eared, and you have to straighten it back up and pop it back in again.
Are either of you two going to Edinburgh this year?
No. I'm not doing it, no.
I changed my mind kind of last
night. I don't know anybody. I don't think there's going to be anyone there this year.
Well, promoters have started booking Edinburgh preview spots, haven't they? So,
I had my room lined up and everything, and I just bailed because I've got three of my closest mates are getting married because they proposed in lockdown, and now where them weddings would be spread out.
Are you doing gigs at the weddings?
I am. I fucking am. Like, not even joking, because I'm best man for three occasions, and I've got to write three speeches. I'm fucking gigging every one of them.
They weren't going to give him the best man, they just knew he'd do it.
I don't even know one of them.
I'm going to do a turn for you three in a bit, man.
One of them's in Norway.
Oh, God almighty. Yeah, that's mad how lockdown stacked that up. Like, in 12 to 14 years, there's going to be a lot of dog funerals. Do you know what I mean? There's going to be a lot of people burying that lockdown puppy.
And there's also going to be like a blank spot of like shit athletes for like 3 years where like kids missed out on the golden age of learning. You're just going to get like kids that were born in like 2013, right? That generation of athletes are going to suck.
Yeah.
Because they missed out on the ages between 7 and 9. Yeah. Like you need to learn how to complete the short pass because it gets locked in.
There's going to be a lot of Ballon d'Ors from countries that didn't lock down, I reckon.
That's a good way of looking at it. What countries didn't lock down?
Australia didn't for a bit, then they panicked. And
they went mental, didn't they?
They were just like, oh, come on, have festivals, get on in here, we'll get all kinds of shit. And they just went, oh, we shouldn't have did that, let's lock the doors forever. And
Africa.
Sweden kept everything open for ages, didn't they?
Yeah, Sweden did.
Sweden.
Africa, a lot of the people that they were like, we've got other problems as well, so...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, South Africa never really locked down, did they? They just sort of accepted it was...
Did Brazil not?
Brazil did.
Ah, bastard, they are. They've already got a good foundation.
A Ballon d'Or for Brazil. We tested out all of our vaccines on them for a while, didn't we?
Did we?
Yeah. So when...
How? So did they know?
So they got loads of vaccines from us because it was one of those where it was like, well, it's past the clinical trials. What humans do we know that'll do it? And then obviously in Brazil, they were like, oh, we'll fucking have them. Do you know what I mean? And then they were doing it in the favelas, and then when
oh my god, oh yeah,
when loads of people didn't die, they were like, oh, it's fine, go figure.
Did we actually? We're human guinea pigs with poverty.
You got a human guinea pig with somebody. And the ones in poverty are less likely to complain, aren't they? Because they've already got so much shit going on. And also as well, if you live in the favelas of Brazil, I imagine death is a release somewhat. Do you know what I mean?
But when they start doing shit like that, you have to start worrying when you're from Blythe and you know that where next.
that's what Blythe is commonly known as, England's favela.
Yeah.
I did call it the flat cap favelas, allotments. The sprawling allotments, when you see them from like above, they can just look like favelas.
Yeah,
it's just their gardens, isn't it?
Would you gig there?
in an allotment, yeah. I started a rumour during lockdown that allotment owners were going to have to give up a third of the produce to the government. So I put it on Facebook, and then I got reported, and then I got an email from somebody saying that was a malicious rumour. And I was like, what the fuck? This has gone a bit far.
Yeah.
So, it was meant as a joke. And then you realise, and so the post got taken down, it was only up for a couple of days. Then I'm in my local pub hearing back my bloke at the bar talking to his mate. Fucking, I've got an allotment, apparently. Government's going to take a third of me fucking sprouts. So
I've got a friend of mine, right, and one of his hobbies is to sort of troll local Facebook community forums.
Yeah.
So what he's done is he's got this fake Facebook profile of somebody who's a property developer, and he goes into local Facebook forums of like really tiny little villages, and he pretends to announce that a new 600 house site development's getting approved, and he just watches as loads of old people
what about the traffic?
There's not enough schools in the area. And he goes, oh, don't worry about any of that. Don't worry about it. And then he just feeds the carnage.
Isn't there some guy as well who manages to... So if anybody's online complaining about something, so they say they complain about McDonald's, he makes out he's from McDonald's. He puts the McDonald's logo on and calls
himself customer services. Stop whinging, you fat cunt.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Sensei Kar from Have A Word. He's mentioned that on that podcast. He used to do that.
He used to do it as well.
I think.
What podcast is that?
It's some Scouts one. I don't know.
Shit. Sounds dreadful. That was absolutely awful.
I think they copied us.
Everyone's popping on podcasts.
Anyway, guys, it is Black History Month. So
that's why you've got me and Mick on.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You're a specialist in the subject.
Yeah. Well, you are from the favelas, aren't you? So that's close. If you go into the emails, into this one here, go to dinner. I saw this morning, and I think this is amazingly amazing.
Amazingly amazing.
Yeah. In your words.
Wow, there we go.
School apologises after serving watermelon, waffles and fried chicken during Black History Month.
So this is a school in New York who, they have like an external caterer, right? They, you know, farm their catering out to a different company. And in order to, quote unquote, celebrate Black History Month, they served up like fried chicken and waffles and watermelon just as the thing. I mean, could you fucking get your head around why anyone would think that that would be a good idea?
Because it's delicious.
I was going to say, I bet the kids were eating chicken. This is disgusting that they're doing this to us. What, we'll eat nice food? Is that a thing? We'll eat nice food? Fuck off. You got any more?
Yeah, it'd be like an Irish History Month, wouldn't it, at school, and going, there you go, there's a potato.
Yeah, yeah, and a pint of whiskey too.
That's it. A pint of Guinness and a potato. There you go. There you go, kids. Get stuck into that.
Yeah.
The Irish kids just go, what, with late nice food?
There's obviously something been lost in the translation. There's an outside carer that's got the, look, it's Black History Month. We've got this school you're caring for. And then somebody's not read properly.
So here's two things about this story.
It's a massive swing and a miss, isn't it?
Here's two things about the story. Number one, they have been accused of doing this before about 5 years ago.
So they've got form, right?
Yeah. I just love how there was loads of chicken and waffle and watermelon that went off this year. And they were like, we'll give it a go. Number two is that what this company, this Aramac company, have said is that it was a massive coincidence. And they were just planning on serving this anyway. And then it was just like, oh no, we were just going to serve fried chicken and waffle and watermelon. And we didn't even know that it was Black History. But that was the way, rather than going, dude, yeah, we fucked up, sorry.
Has anybody asked Jamie Oliver what he thinks of that diet?
Oh,
he loses his shit over that, won't he?
Cried his fucking eyes out. We've already played that video so many times, the chicken nugget one.
Oh,
cleans it up because we'd still eat it.
They still eat it.
Yeah, no, yeah. Quality.
Go back onto that email because there's a few things that I found on the internet. This is a good one. So this is one that I found. So zoo director in Mexico had four of its animals killed and served at a Christmas party.
What?
Oh, you fucking would, though, wouldn't you?
So,
you'd be all, like, looking at that rhino going, I wonder what that fucking tastes like.
We've all nicked stuff from work, but bloody hell.
Is it racist that I just went, no, that didn't happen. Oh, in Mexico.
Well, to be honest with you, I'm surprised you didn't look at it and go, who books that? Yeah, there is something about it being Mexico where you go, yes.
It adds a level of plausibility.
What were the animals? What were the animals? Because
I don't know.
I want to know what the course was.
Wait a minute. Whilst Tom has a look to see what animals it was, right? So if you're doing starter main dessert of animals from a zoo,
right,
from a Mexican zoo.
I'd want rarity. I'd want a possible extinction level animals. That's what you, it's a big doing it.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
End of the party. Yeah.
Panda soup.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Panda soup.
I like a rare tortoise or turtle or something served in a shell, like as a soup.
I'd have white rhino patty. For a starter,
pick your teeth with the ivory.
The ivory would be turned into toothpicks. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And do you know what I think would make a
African
really nice
elephant stew. That'd be the
do you know what I think would make a really nice starter? Bearded dragon.
I think
they are fucking huge. Come to think of it, there might be a main those.
No.
You don't need to eat the whole thing, do you?
Giraffe. Just its beard.
Giraffe's tongue.
Just fry its beard, crispy, a bit of garlic powder, a bit of curry paste.
I want giraffe's tongue with some like cherry tomatoes.
On the
stem, you know, when you get the tomatoes.
And
they're
over
stem,
a foot long, aren't they? So you just stretch it out.
Big
and
sharing platter in the middle.
Yeah, you just batter
it. Oh, you can have it like one of them hanging kebabs.
Yeah.
You've got to go for the neck if you're having a giraffe, haven't you?
No, the neck's huge. And also, it'd be so muscly.
Yeah.
You want a nice tender. The thing is you want tender meat. You want it to be a part of an animal that it doesn't use a lot. You know what I mean? Like, it uses its tongue, but, like, its neck is doing an awful lot more work. It'd be so tough.
Yeah,
that's,
but that'd be just tendons and muscles, the neck.
Right, yeah.
So, you'd want. You go for the arse of a. Yeah, that's what you go for. You go for the rump. That's what you fucking
go for. A giraffe?
Yeah.
I don't feel like they've got big arses, though.
I think they have. They've got bigger arses, yeah.
Giraffe's got a flat arse.
No, they haven't got a flat arse.
I'm going off here. They
look good in a minute. No, they have. They've got big.
You can hang your clothes on a giraffe's arse.
You can't.
No.
I am picturing a giraffe.
I am picturing a giraffe.
You can't even imagine a giraffe.
Giraffe. No, I'm picturing a giraffe with a flat ass. I cannot imagine a giraffe with a bunda. Oh, no, hang about.
Yeah.
Flat ass, then.
No. It's hardly the one where it's running. Then you get an idea of the.
Type giraffe in leggings.
That hasn't got a badonkadonk, does it?
No. That's not a flat ass.
It is.
That's got a fucking good size fucking.
It's a big leg.
Thigh. It's
either
a big
leg, the thigh.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I never thought we'd perv on a giraffe in this episode.
I did. We've done every other animal on different podcasts.
It's the eyelashes on them. They're so cute, aren't they?
Yeah.
Eat them if you want.
You would. Listen, if you're on safari on your own.
A penguin. I think a penguin would go for a dessert.
A penguin would be good. Well, because it's cold.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
There's a little joke inside as well.
If a giraffe was 3 feet tall, I think more people would fuck them.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. I think that's why they evolved.
Why the neck's so big.
Probably to get away from early humans. It's like, fuck this. Sick of getting fucked every time I go and get me leaves.
That's why the neck keep growing and growing.
Sick of blowjobs. Yeah,
because early man was just hiding in branches with cock and balls out. Well, up here.
That's why platform shoes are such a big thing in the 70s.
Oh, that's so funny. Have you found out what the...
The menu.
The menu was.
Well, the animals killed were.
I don't know.
Oh, hang about. A zebra.
A zebra was traded for tools. But later inspections found no such tools at the zoo.
Deer.
Who's the
authority says that deer.
And Watusi cattle were traded off to private individuals without proper accounting. Yeah, I think they just...
I don't know who's trading
the lion attacked two dogs and a cat and apparently escaped from a nearby home. What the fuck? In a separate incident?
Oh, a separate incident. Same zoo, separate incident.
Central City, yeah.
Fucking hell.
I don't think this is a zoo. I don't think this is a real zoo.
This is somebody in charge of a cartel who's just got a bit of a farm.
Yeah.
He's bought some exotic pets.
Yeah, he's bought...
Well, if you want to see a little video of an animal attacking a person, I have actually got one as well for you. So,
yes, please.
So this is a Mongolian camel. You know the fucking ones that... The patrician camels, the ones that survive in the Gobi Desert. Check this out. Pause it. Make it nice and big for us.
Yeah.
So this is, to be honest with you, you don't need the sound for this, so you can turn the sound off. So this is a guy, you're going to watch this guy in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen.
He don't die, does he?
He would have done if it wasn't for somebody coming and rescuing him last minute. But right. It's the guy's fault, because you're going to watch him punch this camel in the face.
What?
And he's a Geordie then, is he?
And
the Mongolian Geordie.
And the camel absolutely fucking destroys
him. Flannels
it. Because these are hard cunts, these patrician camels. They survive in the Gobi Desert.
Oh, he has punched it as well.
Yeah, watch the camel turn around and absolutely fucking batter him now. Rams him with his head, gets him on the floor, and just fucking tosses him around like he's absolutely nothing. Ruins him.
Oh my god!
Absolutely ruins him. Look at that.
Oh, he's got all the money in his mouth. Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't think camels had that kind of game. Like,
well, this is the thing, because the kind of camels
is the ones you least expect.
Look at that.
Oh, you give him the right hump, hasn't he? Somebody had to do the joke. Somebody had to do it.
You thought it would have been Humphreys.
So
shit, there's blood everywhere.
Oh,
look
yeah, yeah.
That
guy is going to be eaten alive were it not for right now.
I think camels don't eat meat.
Has he pulled his pants down? Pause it.
He's got a bullet in his ass.
He's biting his ass, weren't he? He's literally had his pants pulled down.
He's about to be raped by a camel.
Yeah, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to fuck you and leave you.
Also, look at the smile on that camel's face.
That's a comic going to one of them drive-through gigs. Driving gigs. He's not helped him. He's just that's Kai on his way to a gig.
I did the first drive-in gig. I did. That was the first foot on stage.
Before COVID.
I had no one to ring.
2015.
just regular car park. The McDonald's drive-through.
They sounded horrific.
They was that right? The one I did in Brent Cross. I was the first one to do it, so I was shitting myself before I got on, but then everybody rang me and asked us how it was so that they could fucking figure it out. But it was like 100 cars and each of them had 3 or 4 people in. And if you play it like you're playing to a small gig of 3 or 4, it's different.
Yeah.
So if they're in their gig and they enjoy your joke, they'll toot the horn, and then you're soon realising that like the tooting of the horn is them like going, oh, let them know we're laughing.
Yeah.
And you started hearing the tooting going round, and then like, so you get like titters of toots on a feed lane.
Yeah.
And then all of them on a punch lane, and you have to just rewire your brain that that's the response you're looking for.
Yeah.
And then we fucking have positively reinforced. I'm going to go into India in March, and anytime there's fucking tooting the horn, I'm going to be like, I'm fucking thinking I'm killing it.
Driving. Like getting in front of a lot of pingus, wasn't it?
It was weird.
Awful.
It was odd. But then that was all right, that one in Brent Cross, but I've seen a couple of the pictures of the other ones that were popping up.
I had
up
a few
the...
booked in and then they got all pulled. They got cancelled. Mm, yeah,
well, I mean, we talked about this on a previous episode not too long ago, that I did it, I did a couple of them, and one of them that I did was in a farm and it was right next to a residential area. So the plan was for them to flash their lights, but... instead of tooting their horn, which is pretty off-putting, but they did it during summer and it was a 7 p.m. show, so it was already light. So we were just performing to nothing.
And you've got photosensitive epilepsy.
It was fucking
and
wank.
You got blocked on the other side of the field thinking it's a dogging area. Walking past you, wanking.
I tell you what, we've got one more on here as well that I want to show you.
I've got a quick camel story. I was in Bahrain doing a gig with some camels. I was in Bahrain, and we went to see some camels, right? And the food was on the floor, like of the enclosure, and I could like pick some of it up through the fence and like feed it to the camels as they come over. And I fed it, and the guy came and was like, "Why are you feeding the camel its shit?" And all these dried pellets of shit that were on the floor.
I've been to that camel centre in Bahrain.
Yeah, you know the one.
Yeah, and it, for 5 minutes you go, oh, it's interesting. And then when you're still walking around, like 10 minutes later, you're going, it's just fucking
can
camels.
Just, can you just get me with the sun, please?
Yeah, exactly.
Can you just get me some shelter from the sun?
Yeah, they use camel at the racing, some of them.
I didn't get that. Like, no, it's a fucking strange place, isn't it, Bahrain? Because they've got that King Faisal Causeway where people come from Saudi Arabia to have a nice time. They hang around in groups of more than three.
Yeah. They come over from Saudi Arabia at the weekends, and then you see them with the cigars and the whiskies. And
I've never been.
It's out of the UAE. It's
like the Amsterdam.
It's Blythe.
I got Amsterdam.
The favela of the UAE.
Basically, yeah.
Oh, there was loads of... when I went there, I'm going to say 2012, there was loads of riots and shit going on at the time. Yeah. And then I come in and it was like, the guy who was booking...
I wouldn't have been long after. Was that when the Stand were booking gigs?
It wasn't the Stand, but it was a guy from Edinburgh, though.
Right,
Stephen Davidson, who performed under the name Barry Davidson, I think.
Yeah.
So it was like... you're just going to get paid in cash, so like you don't need a visa and you can just say that you're going out there to visit your friend or whatever, right? So you have to fill in the form on the plane, and I just put right out because stand up, I might be performing there, right out, I can just do this job anywhere, right?
Yeah.
So I put right out doing. And it wasn't until I landed I realised there's a fucking ban on journalists entering the country. I get pulled into this fucking side room in Bahrain and asked us a bunch of questions, and I'm fucking answering them in Geordie in their broken English, and they're just fucking, I think they just got to a point where they went, he's not a journalist. Yeah. I think they just don't say shit. Yeah.
He's not writing shit, is he?
He ain't writing shit.
If he writes how he talks, they can't understand it anyway, so he's fucking arsed. Oh, shit. That is fucking...
But there was loads of, like, fucking tyres burnt on the street where they'd, like, fucking, like, scorched tyres to stop the fucking, like, I don't know. I don't even know what they were writing over, really. But one of my favourite bits of graffiti I've ever seen where it was just stop vandalism. Just crudely written stop vandalism on the wall.
That's fucking... brilliant. Have you got a lovely question, Tom?
I got some lovely questions, yeah.
Tom's lovely question. Oh, isn't that lovely?
Let's have a look.
I love your colour-coded spreadsheet that you've got up.
Oh, it's a great spreadsheet. He loves a spreadsheet, does our Tom. Loves a spreadsheet.
Pivot tables and that.
Rob Riley has a spreadsheet for our quiz nights and who's attending and what scores we've got and what the winning scores was.
Oh, Rob loves a spreadsheet.
Oh, he fucking loves a spreadsheet.
When Rob told me, I remember the time when I was on the phone to Rob and he told me about, he's moaning about acts cancelling on his shows and stuff. And it is annoying, you know what I mean?
He's got a live system now, hasn't he?
He told me about his new system, right? And he was like, right, everyone starts off with 5 points. And he was like, and every time that you pull a gig, it's minus 1 point. But if you pull a gig on the day, it's minus 3 points. But if you stand in last minute, it's 2 points. And I was like, you do realise that this is just causing you more admin because you've got to update the fucking league tables for 300 comedians every week.
It would be quicker to just replace a comedian.
Yeah, it's a lot quicker just to email rather than updating all these points and shit.
I think he did it because it was more of a warning to a few people that had done it quite a lot to him.
Yeah.
So he's like, right, I can't fuck around anymore. You know,
yeah. Oh, there's. I mean, it's absolutely endemic, and there's people as well who you go as soon as you book something in, you go, yeah, they're pulling. You know what I mean? You're like, yeah, they're not doing that gig. They're not doing it. It's just how it is. Anyway, go on. What's your lovely question?
This one's from Otter's Pocket off the Discord. Describe your perfect partners. He's actually put prefects, but describe your perfect partners if you were all heterosexual women.
Right. Okay. So if I had to fuck a man as a woman, what would my perfect man be?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. This is going to take some fucking getting round.
Well, going off my man crushes, I'll have to use that. Yeah. Right.
Who are your man crushes,
an heterosexual man. Well, if we're talking on the circuit, it's got to be Milo McCabe. I don't think there's anybody more handsome than fucking Milo.
He's a very
But Milo's not going to decoke off your tits, Mick.
Is he?
Yeah,
you've got to ask you not, what, you think, what you want
no,
in bed.
I'll have him for the gentleman shag, you know, and then he'd be the gentleman, he'd be the afternoon shag, you know, where he'd probably then tidy up after
his nice strong arms when he holds you as well.
Yeah, when I'm crying.
Milo McCabe is so attractive. I went on a night out with him in Liverpool once and we were at this table, just this booth in this bar, and there were women queuing up to speak to him. Like legitimately. Aye. I didn't think...
And he doesn't flirt with them at all either. No. And that seems to have way more power than if he was flirting with them.
Yeah.
He's just very polite and pleasant. And like, he's like, oh, it's very nice to meet. He's just very cool. He's like, he speaks to them like he's meeting someone's mum. He's just lovely. And honestly, I never thought I would ever see it where groups of women would queue, like it was fucking Alton Towers. They'd queue up to try and have a ride, I suppose. But they were queuing up to speak to him. And he'd speak to them cordially for 10 minutes and then they'd go and then another group would move forward. And there was like an unannounced queue system.
I've seen it in Ibiza when I was on holder with him and there was this beautiful girl like chatting to him, like playing with her hair while she's talking to him and he's just being nice and chatting back. And as soon as he brought up his kids, you could see her just looking visibly devastated that he had a family.
Really?
Like visibly devastated
but
that
still,
this man in front of
but
her.
But still not going away.
Yeah.
Hovering around.
I'll be a stepmom, fine, yeah.
That's what I'd do if I was Milo. Is I'd keep adding levels to my life. Yeah. So I'd be like, obviously, you know, I've got the child. And then see if she's still there. And I'd go, who has profound learning difficulties and requires 24/7 care. Mm-hmm. It's still there. I'd go, and obviously there's all the ones I've adopted as well.
And I've got AIDS.
Yeah. And I've got this weird thing where every condom splits.
I'm trying to think of more man crushes. I've got a few. There's a few actors who are incredibly handsome men.
Do you think it'd be dirty if you were a heterosexual woman, or do you think it'd be a bit vanilla?
I think it depends. It depends what mood. I think it would just depend what mood I'm in. I'd be like anybody, you know, a few beers. Fuck it. That's all right. Yeah, let's get. Let's try.
You think you'd be some real fucking bored shit after a couple of cans?
Yeah, I reckon so.
Would you want to fuck a chiseled sort of bloke who's like goes to the gym and is athletic, or would you?
Yeah. I don't want to fuck somebody who looks like me. Fuck that. That'd be horrific. Just fucking so fat cunt with asthma fucking breathing on top of you. Go on, fuck that. No fucking way. No, I'm not having that shit.
So you'd want like a clean... I think clean is the one that I would go for.
Someone that you could brag to your mates now, like, when you run with the lasses, you have to be clean. Like, look at this lad,
and quiet.
Clean and quiet?
Yeah. I wouldn't want a fucking gobby fucker.
You don't want him grunting on?
No, fuck that, no. Just get on with it.
Speaking.
Lick it, fuck it,
Do you talk much during sex? I haven't not removed once, mate, when I'm shagging.
You what, sorry?
I don't talk at all during sex.
Do you not?
It's not a gig. I'm not going to invoice that, am I?
you don't treat it like a gig. but total silence is creepy, don't you think?
Yeah, total silence is insane. That's horrible. That's horrific.
No, I'm with Kai on this.
How do you just fill the silence? Because it's not awkward when it's silent, when you're shagging. Like, there'll be noises.
Well,
Right, so right, okay.
A bit like breathing.
So you don't speak, but every once in a while
you can hear is...
Yeah, so every once in a while...
That's all you can hear.
So every once in a while, you just go...
I've got this running joke with me last, right, that one of us will break the silence by pretending that we've missed something. That's like as if the shags went on for ages. Just going, oh, fuck, we forgot to put the bins in.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't just want to picture this, but I feel so sorry.
It's
quite puritanical. Is it through a hole in the sheet? Do you have a certain times of the month that you do it? You both wear gags.
I don't understand. I don't understand the importance.
Don't look at me.
I'm not John fucking Watson. I'm not going to just commentate me way through, and then he fucking cocks a leg.
You don't say anything at all.
Body language, key.
You don't even throw in a few like yes or anything like that. Like absolute basic, fucking.
Oh come on, yeah.
Just sound.
That's it, love. That's
hang on, there may be a point where I'll just get on top or something when I've like on a position change.
Get on
top. Hi.
Right, do some work, lass.
Oh, when I fuck, it sounds like a bop hit.
Oh, hold on.
Twist it. Suck it.
Touch it. Please.
And bop it. Yeah. Oh, hold on. I'm maybe sign a little bit.
Please. Please touch it.
I made heads are up when it's time, like, oh, here we go.
Oh,
here we go.
I make chip
on top of a roller coaster. Here we go. Get the camera ready.
Get a little key ring afterwards.
That's mental. You don't say, so you're pretty, do you say anything?
I'm pretty quiet, I think. Yeah, I'm not like a talk. I
bet you talk through films as well, dears.
No. That's my biggest fuck. I hate cunts who do that.
Only porn films.
Well, I don't watch enough porn. I'm only watching 3 5-minute clips anyway.
If it takes longer than 5 minutes, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had legendary porn producer Dick Bush on here, who'd be absolutely furious knowing that people only listen to 5 minutes.
You're just watching the 5-minute bit. I don't want the preamble and the fucking terrible acting.
He's made his.
I don't want the porn stars talking either.
Hey?
I don't want the porn stars talking.
Do you know? Oh my god! You need to put mute on.
Watch his old silent movies in black and white.
Oh. Yeah. A little cutting screen comes up and he goes, I'm here to fix your boiler, sir.
But he can't get us a plate of glass there.
Then the woman tied to the train
when he gets the exciting bit, when he gets the exciting bit, he blows on the piano, goes, diddly, diddly, diddly,
there's a villain with a moustache who goes like this, oh, I'm going to steal your girl. Oh, fuck.
Stuck in the washing machine, are we?
I'm the stepbrother.
I've never heard of that before.
Like, it's not like, I'm not saying, oh, there's a blanket ban on talking. I might occasionally say odd things.
So here's the thing, right, is how much talking do you reckon you could put into the next time you fuck without your girlfriend becoming suspicious? So, because if you suddenly became incredibly vocal during sex, she'd be like, well, how long have you been with her for?
Oh, 10 years?
Yeah, she'd be like, what the fuck's going on?
What the fuck's going on? Where's he been?
Where's he learning these moves from?
Yeah.
How much? What if you could put one word in?
Right.
So what if you put one word in, but you have to say it 5 times
this is the
during
challenge,
sex?
Is it?
Yeah.
Right.
So the word is boom. So if you said boom, boom. 5 times. Boom. So if you just went,
boom,
boom. Boom.
I reckon I'd get all 5 of them and boom, 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 like that, and then just shut up and enjoy.
Yo, you can't put all 5 in straight away. You can't start off and go boom, 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 and then say nothing.
I want you in my womb.
But the worst thing about that is, right, you've still got one more boom left to say. That's just 4.
You say that for the end. On the actual stroke, boom.
Don't want to say I'm close to orgasm, love, but the Venga Boys aren't the only thing that's coming. Am I right? Oh, shit. Boom, boom, boom.
I don't. I think
4 booms and then 1 cum boom.
No, I think boom's the wrong word to say, because I think she'd be suspicious straight away.
And do you think, give us one with more than one syllable.
Ha 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 ha.
What about
mental?
Mental.
Mental.
This is mental. You say that about five times. I go, this is mental.
You're mental. Yeah. We're mental.
When you're doing a position you might not try before, just go, this is mental. And you just say, look at the state of us. This is mental.
Or even a position you do all the time. That'd be better.
Keep going, look at us.
Yeah, look at the state of us.
Look at mental. The state of us. Look at the state of us.
What are we like?
Even the neighbours could see us.
Oh, fucking
so
hell.
So what are you two banging on about when he's shocking them? Because even now I'm trying hard to think of stuff that I'd want to say.
Mm-hmm. I quote lines from films.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're gonna need right, a couple.
Yeah. Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, say hello to my little friend.
This pussy's one big pussy waiting to get fucked.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to need a bigger cock.
Oh, mate. Let us know. I tell you what, how about this? Are you up for this? Right. When this comes out on YouTube in the comments, whatever is the most liked comment, you have to fit in during sex.
And we'll film it for a Patreon special.
I want to let you know my wife is a very, despite who she married, she's a very dignified woman.
She is a very dignified and lovely woman.
Very
would not
quiet.
Appreciate being the butt of this joke.
This is.
But she knows who she married.
Yes. So with your mistress then.
You.
If you're a fan of Dead Men Talking, then why not check us out on tour? We are doing a tour in May. We are going to be in Liverpool, Manchester, Birmingham, Glasgow, London and Leeds. You can find tickets over at deadmentalkpod.com. It's going to be Rob Mulholland doing stand-up and it's going to be me, Freddie Quinn, doing stand-up as well. And we'd love to see you come. We're going to have a chat with you all. We're going to have a drink. We're going to take some pictures. We're going to do some great dark fucking comedy and it's going to be an amazing night. So head over to deadmentalkpod.com and grab your tickets while you still can. Have you got any videos for us this week?
We've got some classics. We've not got any new ones because Rob's got the phone in Australia.
Rob's got the phone in Australia and he's not set it. Well, we'll show you some classics. If you do.
Oh, I've got this little story though. Nintendo.
What?
Nintendo's big Mario Kart ride at Universal can only be ridden by thin people.
I'll tell you what it's like, lads. I'll let you know how the raid is.
I've been talking about you during sex.
No, Kai doesn't say anything.
Yeah,
he says
fuck all.
People are really angry because you can only go on it if you've got a waistline of 40 inches or under.
Oh, wow.
Okay, well, I mean, to be honest with you, my waistline's 38 and I wouldn't put myself in the thin people category. Yeah.
And I wear elasticated denim, but I'm not lying. Right, I mean, I've got elasticated denim jeans on, which are 40-inch waist, but I know they stretch to another 6 inches. Mm. So, are you really 38?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We could go on this.
I'm not doubting you.
I got an ass like a giraffe, mate.
Well,
thin.
This ride's in America, so I think...
That's what you've got to say. Giraffe's ass.
Yeah. This ride's in America, so I think the...
Yeah, 40 inches.
The benchmark.
Yeah. So why are people upset with this?
Because they think they should be able to go on the ride and the ride's not being designed for them. And
but hang on, just go up.
Hang on a minute, Donkey Kong goes in the Mario Kart. That means Donkey Kong's not allowed in.
Yeah, that's true.
Size is slimmer than you think, though.
Well, Donkey Kong is.
Yeah, he's big chest, but little waist.
Is it all chest and shoulders? So, yeah.
So it's like that in its classic triangle shape.
To be honest with you, I would think that... So this is... I would usually never side with fat, moany people because I think they're the worst. You know, the people like, planes should be made for me. The London Underground is fat phobic. It's like, no, you're just fatter than what an engineer could ever imagine a person to be. Do you know what I mean? Like, go fuck yourself. But with this, I actually see where their point is because people who go to Universal, a lot of them are going to be fucking... I've been to fucking Florida before. They're all fat cunts. All of them. So I think it's
so
mad.
They haven't checked out their audience. There's a bit of market research needs to be done, like your demographics.
This is exactly... Like, there's no way they couldn't think, oh, wait, they're all going to be a bit bigger. Do you know what I mean? Like, 40 inches seems like a weird cut-off point.
But what if it made the ride worse? Like, because it's a safety thing, isn't it? That it can't get the barriers on it.
All right, so maybe you have to look into this. This ride could have been developed and built in Japan.
Yeah.
Where the idea of a 40-inch waist would be fucking unbelievable.
It is Nintendo, yeah.
Yeah, it's Nintendo. So it's
Yeah. I mean, also, anyone over 5 foot five can't ride it.
Am I the only person and on this the, ride?
And all the other stereotypes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have a stereotype ride.
Yeah. So people are upset by it.
Yeah.
But you know what, as well? There's also, as well, and no offense, if you're an adult and your waist is over 40 inches, you're at a fucking theme park and you're crying because you can't ride in a fucking kid's ride. Seriously, fucking.
Yeah.
Don't leave it alone. It's not for you. It's not for you, you fat cunt.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be that bothered if there was something that was specific to me that stopped us being able to get on a ride. Like, I don't think I'd be vocal with my complaints.
Well,
they said no Geordies on this ride.
If there were no Geordies on this ride, like,
he'd be annoying on that ride. You'd be behind him in the car and he'd be going, hey, so have you heard the one about
I'd just be queued up for a good one. I'd like to ride one Mario Kart ride, please. Please may I?
It's one of those, though, like, if you're quite fat because you've decided that you want to eat whatever you want all the time, then fair play to you, good luck. But you can't expect that the rest of the world, like, you have to expect that you lose things because you have that privilege, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to want to just be like, I'm going to eat whatever I want all the time,
there are consequences.
But I mean, I am overweight because I'm lazy and I've got into bad habits. So I don't expect the world to fucking fit into my...
Exactly.
I'd like it to.
Yeah.
I've got to be honest, yeah.
I'm the same. So I'm like, look, okay, I would like to be able to wear a bigger range of option of clothing than what I currently have.
Yeah.
However, what I like
Big
even...
up Giacomo.
What I like even more is to be able to eat whatever I want all the time, to be able to booze whenever I want, and to be able to not have to go to the gym. So
it's a conscious trade that you've made.
Literally.
You're like, I prefer the lifestyle choices that I've chose.
It is
I get more joy out of them things than I would ever by...
It is a literal conscious trade where I've gone, do you know what? Yeah, I would quite like to wear that, but also I actually prefer this lifestyle.
And then when you see someone that's like...
And you dress for that lifestyle as well. You've got like classic jogging bottoms on and a hoodie.
Yeah.
A lot of sportswear for a man who does
a lot of sportswear for a man that doesn't do sport. Yeah,
it's cultural appropriation, my outfit.
Yeah, like going to a theme park, it's not going to impact your normal life. It just impacts you on that one day of the year that you go to fucking Nintendo World, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a matter.
I wonder if anyone even complaining wouldn't have even gone on the ride. I bet there's loads complaining, just heard about it and not even been there.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you get.
Professional complaining.
To be fair,
they were going to go, but they couldn't get out of the house.
I got fired up about the allotment rumour that you started.
Yeah. Yeah. Could be, yeah.
Yeah, nobody complains like fat people on Twitter. Yeah. It is.
This food influencer, Rocklebot, says, nothing but wonderful things to say about... Blah, 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 blah. The body size limitations on the Mario Kart ride are absolutely ridiculous. I've never had any issue fitting in any ride in my entire life, and I can barely fit into this one. Completely absurd. Maybe they just got fatter since the last time they went on a ride.
It sounds like it's a kid's ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I'm starting to think that, isn't it?
Yeah. It was the one, you know, the one outside supermarkets he put 50p in. It's just one of them.
Let's have a look at some classic videos. Before we get these videos, so these videos that people have sent in, you can send them via WhatsApp only to 075.
As long as it's not
644931.
Injury stuff.
Okay, we've got plenty of all sorts.
I can't. You know, when you see people, you know they're going to break the leg and you see it, I go, oh, fuck.
He was telling me on the way here that there's ones of people getting their dicks chopped off.
Yeah, we can start with one of those if you want.
Oh, I think I've seen that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen a Bobbit in my life. Bobbit, wasn't it?
John Wayne
Bobbit?
Yeah, John Wayne Bobbit.
Got his dick bitten off, wasn't it?
This one's bad.
Is this cut the chip off?
No, I can't. See, I can't. I'm not going to watch this.
This is...
Oh.
No.
Oh, how are you, man?
I've got an idea of what he's like during sex now.
Will you be quiet, babe? Will you be quiet, babe?
Oh, this is mental. Boom.
Boom. Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, boom, 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 boom. Just the tip.
Oh. That didn't make
what
sense.
What the fuck?
That, like,
that's
no, is
bad,
that, that's not real, is it?
Yeah.
Why has he had that done? Mentally ill, obviously.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Was she arrested? Was she been jailed for that?
No, he wanted to do it by the sound of it.
She took advantage of him there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she took some convincing to do it. I don't think she convinced him to do that. I think that's his thing, and he had to find.
Well, do you remember the cannibal in Germany who put an advert out? Yeah. Said, "Come round to my house, I'll cut your dick off, we'll eat it, then I'll kill you."
Yeah. And someone was like, someone was like, "Hey, go ahead."
Yeah. Which, his defence was it was consensual.
He must have been thinking when he put that ad in, it's never going to work this.
No. Well, what he did is he pressed sponsored post and that.
Yeah. The thing is, you don't actually don't get.
Yeah, I know. But what a last resort to go, fucking hell.
That's why the incel movement is so ridiculous to me. Is because
there's someone there for everyone.
Yeah. Even when you say, I'm going to cut your dick off, eat it, and then eat you, there's people like, go in.
Yeah.
So if you are an incel, just put an advert out.
Sponsored post.
Yeah, he was a cannibal, but he had a lovely personality. Yeah.
That's the main thing.
Terrible breath.
People. So, yeah, they cooked. I remember the transcript. They cooked it with a bit of garlic butter, didn't they? The penis and shared it.
Is that what they did?
Yeah,
garlic adds with everything, doesn't it?
It cooks with fucking everything.
It makes Peter Kay sound a bit silly, really, when you think about it.
And apparently, it tastes like chicken.
Garlic dick.
Garlic adds with everything.
Garlic dick.
Garlic dick. We've talked about this before. If it was morally fine to eat a human, if someone said, like. Say if I had my foot chopped off, right, in an accident, and then I had my foot, and I said, "Let's all eat my foot."
Yeah.
Would you eat someone's foot?
No, but I'm going to convince my family when I die to go in a roundabout way to get involved in cannibalism, because you can be turned into compost now when you die, and I want to be turned into compost, but I want it to be used to grow a cannabis plant, and then
you want to be smoked,
and then you smoke it. So in essence.
That's quite cool, actually.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's a good idea, isn't it?
I'd like to have a talk with you, Mick.
Yeah. Silence.
You could also just go it straight away and make it an edible.
That would be more the cannibal route.
Yeah,
it would be. But it's still the main compost that's grown that plant, so...
Yeah.
I've not really thought about how I want to die.
How you want to die?
No, like how I want to... Like,
violently and crying, is that what you want?
Like, how I want to, like, be, like, buried or whatever. I've not really thought about it, but I quite like the idea of, like, being turned into a diamond or something, but I think that's...
But ironically...
How narcissistic is that? What was his last wish? To be a diamond.
He couldn't achieve it in life.
He's finally beautiful.
Yeah.
I'd like to just be like catapulted against a wall.
I actually think real bodies should be used, cadavers, when they're freshly dead, you use like crash test dummies so you can actually see what a proper wreckage would be used.
If you,
that'd be fun as well, wouldn't it?
If you just died and they said to your family, look, we'll give your family a six-figure sum to use Mick's body so that perverts can fuck it. So there's perverts out there, and rather than them being menaces in society, they just get to fuck your dead body.
You have a bigger queue than Milo.
6-figure. I'm not leaving my family any money. You know what I mean? I've got nothing to leave.
Exactly. So 100 grand. And they take your body, and it's you.
So you've gone for the very basic 6-figure sum, the very bottom one.
Also taxable.
Yeah.
Taxable.
You've not gone for the 999,000 6-figure.
Do you think that you're a £999,000?
Well, it depends how many people fuck me.
Not even 6 zeros. Six figures.
Yeah, six figures. Would you be okay with that?
Well, I wouldn't know anything about it.
No, but...
Imagine everyone had the guy and they got the money and they're like, oh, he actually was in a coma. bring you back around.
As long as my family be looked after.
Yeah, just an absolute tatter.
I think what I'd be worried about is a stigma my family would have to deal with afterwards. And go, have you heard about the dad, Mick? Yeah. When he died, a load of freaks fucked him, fucked his corpse. But look at the house.
Yeah.
You know half of it's paid off.
Yeah. You know they paid for that extension, don't you?
We don't go in the back door out of respect.
That's fucking brilliant.
Why are they fucking me up the ass? God, you're lacking so much imagination. No wonder you're quiet during sex.
It probably kind of fucks you because you're so quiet.
Yeah, he'd be the quiet one, like, Finally, my perfect match.
Yeah. I'd still be shushing you. Shh, man, die quietly, Mick.
Oh. I think I wouldn't even need money. I'd just be fine with it.
Fuck off. You'd just be fine with
it. In fact, you'd pay for it.
It's still some fucking bodies that don't want to be fucked. Right. Because like, I don't give a shit, but there's probably someone out there that's like, I would hate that to happen to my body. I don't give a shit. So they can do it to my body.
No, but do you not think that your family might have something to say about it? Like your other half and your parents and things?
It's one thing.
I don't care, I'm dead.
Yeah, but you'd kind of care before then. No, like, imagine if they had the conversation with you where they sat down and they said, listen, we've been offered quite a lot of money, six figures, to low six.
£1,000 and 48 pence.
Yeah. To fuck to sell your body to perverts to fuck.
Yeah.
You'd go, I'm fine, I'm dead.
I think my missus would find it funny. I think my dad would find it funny. My mum would probably be sad. But she'd be sad anyway, I'm already dead.
I'd like a bit of fun though, with my. If I died, and then within 24 hours, drive me somewhere to like weird in Europe, and then leave me in a tree. So the news story be that, like somewhere like in Czechoslovakia, where this confusion of unknown body found in tree, nobody knows where it's come from.
because the worst thing about that is if nobody bothered and they just left it. It was just like,
I think they'd have to.
His body stuck in tree. Fat man stuck in tree.
And as well, like when the news reached like the UK, people would look at the news article and just go, fucking hell, that looks like McFerry. That's McFerry.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Because it would be so detached from.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'd be dressed like Mickey Mouse as well. So fat man, fat dead man in Mickey Mouse costume, finding tree in Czech Republic.
I would note in his pocket saying he couldn't go on the Mario Kart ride.
Yeah, but I have a parachute as well.
Yeah.
So I have a parachute. Go, what the fuck?
Let's wrap it up. Before we go, is there anything that you want to plug, Kai Humphries?
I'm going to plug me lass's dog park.
Yes, plug the dog park.
My wife will open an indoor dog park up in East Kilbride.
I saw it. I followed it on social media. It looks fucking amazing.
It's absolutely stunning. She's done wonders with it, and it's like it's really catching on, and loads of people are going.
Love that. I'd love to be able to take my dog to something like that. But she's a fucking lunatic, and there's no way she could go to anyone like that.
People have been like booking it for private sessions if they've got reactive dogs, so that they can get the dog off the lead and run around, or just booking it with friends whose dogs they know their dogs are familiar with.
Yeah.
So
if you get enough of the dogs as well, 5, 6, 7 dogs. If you get them all in the dog park, Kai will do 20 minutes in
front of I've been gigging at them. but speaking of that, that's the Dug and Bone. If you live up near Glasgow, the Dug and Bone, D-U-G, that's my wife's dog park. But I'm also going to be on tour coming through Liverpool, Manchester, London, Glasgow and Leicester. And Australia, do you have anyone in Australia?
Yes.
And in Australia.
Which is weird because we were, I think a couple of weeks ago, we were the fourth most listened to stand-up podcast in Australia.
Great.
And well, no, because we call them rapists almost every episode.
Oh, yeah. They're
not all of them.
When we knew that Rob was going to go out there, I think we made a point of calling them rapists constantly, just on the off chance that any listeners would be upset. And
just for Rob to be acclimatised. Oh, my people.
They seem to just accept that slag in Australia. It's like they're really good at just like taking it.
Yeah, I think it's the sunshine.
They're just living a happy place.
When it's nice,
they've got a nice quality of life. You start slagging them off, you're like, sure. you can find me all my tour dates on my website, kaihumphries.com, and if you can't get to any of them places, there's a show on there for free that you can watch.
We'll stick links in the description as well. Yeah. Anything that you want to plug, Mick?
It's nothing definite yet, but I'm planning some work in progress shows around Manchester the next 2 months.
Oh, nice. So, where are you planning to put them?
Well, that's the fucking thing, isn't it? Yeah, I've spoken to a couple of places already, but I'm thinking of, yeah. So I've got to finalise that before.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's really, I've got fuck all to plug.
Well, you're going to be the task bastard.
But by the time this comes
out. I'm going to be a task bastard.
Tell us about that.
Oh, right. So we're doing task bastard.
It's completely original format.
Completely original. Nobody's stolen anything off any other famous shows. But there's Mick, and then there's me and Rob and Jamie Hutchinson and Rebecca Goodwin are doing tasks in funny ways.
And is this a production or is this a live stage show?
Both. It's been produced. It's live. I think all the tickets
I've agreed to do it because it's the closest I'll ever get to the the actual fucking real
class.
Thing.
That's the only reason I'm making it.
That's one thing I've always said about Taskmaster. It's like people want to be on it because it's such high profile, but I'd love to do it behind closed doors. Even if you don't put it on TV, can you so it's such a fun concept.
Well, this one
if this
been,
goes well, you can do the next one.
This has been so well received, this one. Yeah. Like, it's sold, tickets have nearly sold out now. Well, they by the time that they're coming out now.
It's a band on the wall, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good venue.
And how you thought about how much liability you'd be under for the copyright?
The copyright of what? We've never heard of any other...
Completely original show, completely original format.
Completely original format, completely original name. All the creation of Tom, producer.
And then you're going to do...
Not a Dead Men Talking thing, a specific producer
and
Tom
And then you're
going
to do a general knowledge quiz called Bastard Mind.
That's funny. Let's do that.
Yeah, we're going to do a spelling show called Count Bastard. 8 out of 10 bastards. Yeah. Do you count bastards?
Yeah. And the Gladdy Bastards.
That cooking show, Bastard Chef. Yeah.
Family Bastards.
Yeah. Coronation Bastards.
Coronation Bastards, Prince Andrew. but you can check out links to all of our live shows on deadmentalkpod.com and get your merch on there as well. We've merch drops out and special things on the merch store. And sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/deadmentalkpod, where from just £3 a month, you get access to an extra episode every single week. Loads of extra content, specials, the drag race special will be up by then, wrestling specials, sex dungeon shit.
Secret episode is up there now.
Secret episode. Loads of stuff is on there. So, get yourself signed up to that and help keeping on supporting the pod. Other than that, thanks for listening and... Go fuck yourself.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.